Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
He's young. I don't know what they have, 8 plays at Memphis? He's young. You're probably right. It might just be 1 sheet, 8 squares.
Okay. And with that, we're off. I mean, I know that's Billy Musgrave from earlier today. Is it Bill or Billy? What does he want to be known as, Alfred?
I've never asked him.
What do you call him?
Billy Moose.
You call him Billy Moose? You'll say that to his face. Hey, Billy Moose.
That's what I call him.
All right. I'll call him Billy then. I'll call him Billy Moose.
I don't know if that's what you call him.
What should I call him?
I don't know. Once you ask. Broncos media department.
I love
Musgrave.
Billy Moose. Billy Moose is like the greatest name of all time. I can just get away with Billy Moose.
I call him homeboy. What do you call him?
I think Musgrave is
What's up, homeboy?
I think he's a guy who would be awesome to go out to dinner with. Because I think once some stories start rolling, I just like guys like him who are kind of sneaky funny and are kind of quiet but have something funny to say almost about everything.
And a guy
he strikes me as a guy like that.
He's a learned offensive coordinator in this league. It's not something new that he's just picking up, or he's got so much more experience calling plays than Mike McCoy has. It's ridiculous. I try to explain this to people who didn't understand what I was trying to say last year about Mike McCoy. Even though he was a head coach, he hasn't been a play caller for a long time in this league. As a matter of fact, he was a play caller for the Broncos with Tim Tebow. And then that was it. Basically, Peyton Manning called his own stuff. They gave him a few options, but Peyton put him in the right play, and then Tim Tebow called plays. Then he became a head coach, and guess what? He got a coordinator then who called
Thank
plays.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
So,
Timmy.
I was watching Musgrave's offensive philosophy today. Me and Ray Crockett were sitting on the sideline. He said, man, he's got a lot of stuff in the red zone.
By the way, tell Ray Crockett to start working out. He's really letting himself go. Oh, my goodness.
He looks great, man. I mean, Ray's always been the same guy. He's always been the same guy. But,
wow.
His red zone packages are good, man. I walked away the last 2 days really happy about our offensive coordination and our defensive coordination. Joe Woods is brought a brand new level of defensive intensity to the team that is not just brute force. And I think when we had Wade, it was just brute force. Like, we're going to line up in front of you with our cornerbacks. We're going to press you and play man-to-man and send our best 5 pass rushers at you. Well, I mean, that can work until you play the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then guess what? We got a backs beat in by the Steelers, and then Wade changed it up, and we came with different packages, and we did the same thing against the New England Patriots, and it seemed to work. And now I think we're going to have that kind of philosophy throughout the year, because we don't have 3 corners like we did when we had our Super Bowl runs.
The Broncos are in a weird spot right now in their secondary, because there's some bumps and bruises, so there's actually not a lot of guys out there. They're actually kind of getting everybody's kind of double rotated right now, Al, just to keep some bodies on the field. They're just in a weird sort of logistical, quirky situation right now. I want to get to Paxton here for a second, because on the surface it was a great day, but VJ said this.
Again, it's practice, and sometimes you guys just watch it and it all looks good, but it's not. I mean, we're not there yet. And everyone right now in the league's feeling good. That's what camp's about. This is my, 15th camp. And every camp I went to, it was a good camp. So how do you know how good you are until you play? So that stuff's overrated, how it looks, right? I mean, we have battles going on that's that's going to get settled. You know, we have some guys who are not doing things right now. We're still coaching loafs, you know, so it's not perfect. You know, but everyone feels good right now because it's training camp, you know. It's professional football players, it's professional coaches, so it should look good to the eye. But as you study it, I mean, we got a long way to go, man. So it's training camp.
Look at VJ growing up a little bit as a coach. So much for great practice on Wednesday, all that sort of stuff. More tempered, more, hey, hold on, let's see how it goes. Not declaring anybody to be anything right now. That's a more seasoned coach right there, Al. I guess that's an example of you don't know what you don't know until you have to know it. That's a different approach than what we would have heard last year.
Who was it? Mike Tyson, who said it best? Everybody has a plan until somebody hits you in the mouth. You know, so
right.
Let's see who you are then.
Right, because you may come off the field as a first-year coach and just, hey, everything was great.
But even like today, man, I just don't like – I understand it, but I just don't like – the way practices go when all of the pads are on.
How so?
When all of the pads are on, you know, throughout my NFL career, we at least face the ball carrier up so we can get a fit. Just get a fit. Boom. And it's done.
Oh, you don't like the arm sweep, more or less?
Yeah.
Even
in full pads for you guys who haven't been to the practice yet, it's still like, even in full pads, they're not, there's no thud.
No. You know,
and there's no helmet on the ball carrier, even in obvious run game, unless there's a mushy type of pile.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, to me, that's, it just looks weird.
Okay.
I've never actually seen a training camp where you are in full pads, but there is really no hitting with the linebackers and running backs and safeties.
It's kind of like, I got you.
Hey, I would have had you there.
Hey.
It's third down and one, man. We got four pads on. Let's see if you would have had me.
We saw at the end of practice, they had a one play to win the game drill. And Case Keenum threw a touchdown pass. Paxton Lynch's pass was incomplete. And Chad Kelly was sacked by Shelby Harris. But when he was sacked by Shelby Harris, it was kind of like, I gotcha. And then, you know, he's jumping up and down. Everybody's celebrating because then that means the defense won 2 out of 3. And the offense had to do 50 push-ups, by the way. That was the punishment. 50 push-ups if you lost that particular one. And it was a moment of like, okay. Like, I know what you're saying. You don't ever want to hit the quarterback anyway. But it's a new era of the NFL in terms of contact. You're right. The contact and the crunching sound you usually hear when they put the pads on has not really been there, but they are going full speed. I'm amazed that guys can actually, you know, pull off quick enough, Al.
Oh, gosh. Nobody really wants to hit nobody. Not really.
I mean, right.
You know, you could just run over there and say, oh, I would have had you there. You know, sure. I mean, the greatest players who you think are headbangers really would prefer not to do that if they didn't have
right,
to.
Right, and now they don't. Not in practice, at least.
I remember when I was playing, we used to have these Friday practices, and we had this old crane that used to roll out there, and the guys over in the film department know what I'm talking about. They roll that crane out there, and they'd send the crane up like 30 feet in the air, and the old defensive lineman would get around there and huddle while the offense was out there. And every Friday, we say, all right, close your eyes. Let's see who is grunting and having a hard time. Because when you close your eyes and you are close to a football field, you hear the game. Like, you actually hear, like, you know, and then a smack here or a smack there, and then you know the game. Then you know the play's over.
Yeah.
But now, guys are just, you know it's just this, it's it's not the same force of practice that used to exist even when I was playing here. And Mike Shanahan certainly didn't believe in beating up his team. But, you know, put a helmet on a guy, let him know that you were there, and let him continue running. That's gone.
Gone.
So practice is weird to me.
I will tell you, though, the cornerbacks – the cornerbacks and receivers are aside from hitting each other, they're going after it full speed. I mean, they're trying to stop each other or make a catch over each other or whatever. But you are right. Without the sort of you're about to get hit moments, and it could hurt.
You're going to get hit.
You just don't know.
You're going to get hit. We're just not going to tack you to the ground.
Yeah.
Those you're going to get hit moments are gone.
In light of everything, this is the scenario. This is why we knew Trevor Siemian would win the job. We knew how he would look in these situations. We just knew it. The question was, why didn't Paxton Lynch look better in those same situations? Today, Paxton Lynch might have had the best practice of his NFL career.
No doubt about it.
Why don't you talk about that? What'd you see?
What I saw is a guy that was good in the boot game. I mean, they sprinkled some boots in. He threw a nice long completion on a go route, a nine route, just boom, right down the right sideline on the money. He had some completions for first downs in the move it drill. He just looked like, you know, it looked like they put enough movement plays in it for him so that he could be comfortable. And with that, he delivered. I mean, he looked like a pro ball player today.
He even had a nice touch pass.
Yeah, on a crossing route where he just
that was pretty far down the field too.
Yeah, threw it up in the air on a crossing route where the tight end was coming from right to left, and he had a good day. I'm not gonna lie, he had a good day today.
Here was VJ.
It looked okay, you know, from my angle. Obviously, we got to watch the tape and kind of see, you know, what the total practice looked like. But he made some plays. He's made plays all off season, and even our first 4 days of camp. So. It's practice. He's made plays. He hadn't made plays. It's practice. He's getting better.
Okay. VJ is slow rolling it, but trust me.
This is the most plays he ever made in one practice.
Oh, right.
Maybe when they were out in San Francisco, I remember Pritchard.
We weren't there for
and
it.
Cecil talking about that one practice where he looked like he was turning a corner.
Yeah.
And then he came back, you know.
We're like, you guys are lying. What are you seeing Sasquatch out there?
You made that up because we couldn't see it.
Right. We didn't believe
it. We couldn't see it, so you made it up. You made it up for radio. But today, we actually saw Paxton Lynch.
Everybody saw it.
Play good.
Yeah.
And that was encouraging.
I did ask VJ if Chad Kelly would get reps with the twos, and he said he would.
Just not anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not even going to hold.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, they don't want it right now. They don't want that competition
I'll tell you this.
Real.
If Paxton Lynch puts more days like this together, it's over for Chad Kelly having a shot at the
backup
spot.
They're not going to give Chad Kelly a chance.
Well, that's what I asked, and he said he would, but...
Yeah, but not no time soon.
Not if it looks like it did today.
Listen, man, we are five days in on training camp, and, you know, the drills that count, you know, he's not going to get... Paxton Lynch is going to get reps, and those drills where there can be controversy created... You know, Kelly is not going to get those lips.
Well, today was clearly the most significant day of training camp so far because they played to the degree that it happens in practice, real football, moving the ball down the field. I mean, they really haven't done full pads, moving the ball down the field. They haven't done this at all since last year.
Still not fitting up. Still not fitting up. Linebackers not fitting up.
The defense has had some tough days.
I mean, the running through, and like, oh, I would have had you right there. I'm like, what do you mean you would have had him? Just put a hat on him and tell him.
You're funny.
By putting a hat on him. Put a hat on him. I don't know. I think I got a little ticked off today by, you know, all of the run by with the, you know, quasi, would have had your moments. Golly, you got a helmet on, shoulder pads, and pants. Just put a helmet on them and let them continue playing. Maybe that's got something to do with the concussion protocol, and maybe, you know, that's part of the new way that the Broncos will be attacking practice, because there was another thing that happened today that took me by a wild surprise. It was tackling drills. And the tackling drills came in special teams, where the emphasis is wrap and roll.
Oh, that's the Seattle Seahawks sort of way to do
things.
Right, yeah.
And I was looking at it, you know.
Yeah, like, that's a big Seahawk thing.
You know, shoot at them below the waist, grab your arms around them, and twist hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, in the world is that?
Oh, well, that's a whole Pete Carroll
philosophy. I'm like, what is that?
What, you don't like that?
I didn't know what it was. And then I was oh, you know what? This is the tackling rule stuff. This is it.
Maybe. But that's also Pete Carroll's been coaching that for years.
No, man. Hold on now. Let me finish here.
Huh?
Okay, we're talking about kickoff return. We're talking about the kickoff team practicing tackling a returner coming at them a little bit to the side where they are not leading with their helmet, but really leading at their waistline, wrapping and rolling. Listen, man, that's brand new, man. That's brand new. That's brand new. I mean, for all of the fellas that's listening to this show right now, you ain't never had to play football like this. You have never had to play football like this if you're listening to this show right now.
Anybody that's played the game understands that. Anybody that hasn't, they can't. And that's fine.
That's fine.
You know what? It's so different, man, to actually see and implement it today was it was shocking. That's the word, shocking. Because all the things that we have been told about football is it's done. And I'm okay with it being done, but I remember these principles about playing football, like run through him. You know, you got to imagine your helmet and your shoulder pads running right through him. You remember that, Big Sexy? I mean, at football practice, you know, hearing that, run right through him.
I remember that. I also remember them teaching me, preaching, just beating it into my head to keep my head up.
Keep your head up, but run right through him.
Why don't you ask Big Sexy that instead of me?
You didn't play high school football.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, it was...
Kyle Berry did, though.
Kyle Berry played... Do you remember that Kyle Berry?
Yeah, he's nodding his head.
I mean, listen, if you're listening to me right now, you've never seen this kind of football before. It was different, and I don't know how this really translates to football on third down and one, bro. And we did that drill today.
We'll see.
We did the drill today. We did a third down and one drill today. And there were times when the runner and the linebacker or the runner and the safety were in the hole together, and the runner needed a yard, and the defender was trying to stop him. What do you do then? Do you step to the side and wrap and roll, or do you shoot at him at his hips, knowing that if he leans forward, he's going to get the one?
I think the bigger question is, what will the referees do in that situation? Because you know what the players are going to do.
Listen, man, I'm just if what game were we watching last year? I think it was last year. There was a moment in a game where a safety had a chance to absolutely dislodge the ball from the receiver.
The Saints-Vikings game?
Was that what it was?
Well, that's the play where what's-his-face missed Diggs.
No, not that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was another one that was of great significance, and we were involved. I can't remember what game it was, but we were like, oh, my goodness, he didn't hit him. Like, that's, I think the way that we have been watching football is about to change right in front of our face. Like, you're not, tomorrow is the first game of the 2018 football season. And I want to see how many helmet to helmet tackles will happen. And will there be a call if a running back who needs a yard drops his head and lowers the boom on the defender?
Meanwhile, we'll see. It'll be interesting.
I don't know how that's going to work.
If you're wondering about Chad Kelly, you know, I kind of feel bad. I've always felt bad for the backup quarterbacks
when it gets to the
third and the fourth teamers, because they're just not out there with guys that are as good as the first and second teamers.
You like Isaiah McKenzie?
Well, I'll get to Isaiah McKenzie in a second. Let me get to that. Let me wind up to that in a second. But just very specifically, like, Sam Jones, who's a draft pick from Thunder Ridge High School, and we like him. He came here in studio. He was working as the third string center. There was a second string center, Al. I don't know if you even noticed it. It's a huge kid out of TCU, Austin Schlottman or something like that. I'm probably Schlottman, who's 6 foot six, 300 pounds, a center who's 6 foot six. That is a tall center, that's for sure. So Sam Jones, who really is a guard, I know he said he could play guard and center, and he's a draft pick. But boy, he may have had you're the third string guys, right? I mean, your reps are precious.
I need the ball to get to my hands.
Oh my God, was it bad? I mean, it was as bad.
I think I saw three drops. Center quarterback has changed three.
Center
three of
quarterback
them.
In one series was three, and then there was another one that was bobbled. And the snaps were low in the shotgun. And I mean, Chad Kelly literally had no chance. And after the series, it was Chad going over to Sam Jones.
Like, let's get some snaps in.
He did. They did that. And he also, like, patted him on the shoulder. It was like, hey, calm down. You know, it's okay. It's Chad. It was a nice professional moment by Chad Kelly, that's for sure. But Chad's in a battle, too. And listen, unless they give Chad Kelly snaps with whoever's playing, at least on the second team, you're not really going to have a fair comparison. So Paxton Lynch did have a good day. And then the third teamers are the third teamers. They're not bad players. I'm not saying that whatsoever.
No, not this year.
But on the NFL standard, it's not the same. That being said, when Chad Kelly throws Isaiah McKenzie a dime on what would be a touchdown because he's behind the defender, and Isaiah McKenzie lets that ball hit him in the chest and drop, this is not the camp for Isaiah McKenzie to do that.
Let me tell you where it hit him. It hit him right in the hands, over the shoulder, in stride.
Perfect throw,
chest.
Right?
Oh, perfect throw. And you know what happened next? My favorite part of NFL football. The receivers look at their hands like, you let me down. You let me down. You let me down. They look at their hands and they clap and they look at their hands again. They're like, you let me down.
You know how there's...
Hey, man, every time... You know what? There's a drop pass, I can't wait to look at it because I'm waiting for it. Like, what are you doing, hands? You let me down.
That's so funny.
They all do it, though.
But you know, for a guy like Isaiah McKenzie, oh boy, I don't know how many opportunities you're going to get like that in the camp. I mean, like that. Like team drill. Here we go. Move the ball. I'm a target.
It's third down,
I mean,
too.
It's a touchdown by a mile, right?
He's got the defender beat by 2 yards.
I mean, nobody's catching Isaiah McKenzie. And his hands let him down. And then there is Timmy Patrick, who looks like a superstar out there, catching the long pass from Paxton Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made Tim Patrick, number 81, has made catches in the red zone left and right. Never mind Courtland Sutton. We can't say enough good words about Courtland Sutton. Okay?
He's just a freak. He's the freak.
It's over. Your new slot receiver is Emmanuel Sanders.
Or Demaryius Thomas.
We'll see. But it ain't going to be Courtland Sutton.
No, it will not.
And this guy is going to be on the field. It's so obvious what's happening. Get ready for 10 years of Courtland Sutton here in a Denver Broncos uniform.
I don't remember DT ever looking like this.
I don't. Listen,
I'm
man,
just telling you.
It's rare air
I'm
where
telling
he
you,
is right now.
I don't remember DT looking like this
so
when he was a rookie.
We don't have to talk too much more about Courtland Sutton.
We don't have to because whoever had a first-round grade on him should probably have taken him in the first round.
Somebody said to me, because I said pencil him in, and they go, pencil or ink? And my response was tattoo. It's done. So now you kind of – and Hamilton too, great. You know, not quite the standout as Courtland Sutton, but fine. So now it's like that fifth wide receiver. Right now, today, somebody, I think it was Stokely, said, well, you know, Tim Patrick is the new Jordan Taylor. And I was like, yeah, that's bad news for Jordan Taylor. And I would... I'd rather have Tim Patrick in the red zone and on third down than the possible explosive 70-yard play every now and then from Isaiah McKenzie.
I told you that's not a given that he's going to make this team.
McKenzie?
McKenzie.
I think he's on life support. based on the other competition out there and how good Phillip Lindsay has turned out.
I tried to tell you.
I think Isaiah McKenzie's on life support right now. And Jeff Hierman, if Isaiah McKenzie's on life support, they're lowering the casket for Jeff Hierman.
Oh, and another guy.
We'll get to it. Hold that thought.
I'm going to hold on to it because.
Hold on to it.
You told me so.
Oh, I like that. Big Three's next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
All right, story number one, let's just talk about Paxton Lynch. If this is the best day on, you know, with Paxton Lynch, Al, does it change anything in the conversation about the backup position?
It does if he can string days together, but my worry is after you have a day like this and then you have a break, how do you gain momentum, D-Mac? You
know? Well, the concept of just how you... I agree. You know, that's a good point. Like, Paxton Lynch should really want to get out there again tomorrow and put days like this together. That's a good question. I don't know. You know, I think practice is dumb anyways because I don't – for as much time as we spend out at practice, I just don't think they practice enough. I don't think they practice enough, like, football. I mean, there is so much, like – warming up.
Right. Special teams.
There's the warm-up, then there's the stretch, and then there's the drill work and more drill work, and then there's special teams, and then, you know, I mean, we literally, in the media, we literally sit there for the most part, Al. Don't we all do the same thing and just sort of all chit-chat with each other, and then finally you see, I mean, like an hour after the practice has started.
That's when Big Al shows up.
There you go, pal. There you go.
If there's a fight that happens in the first 35, 40 minutes of practice, you're going to have to tell me about it because I know what this
is. Well, I promise you, you're not, I mean, there's little.
I've never miss anything.
There's little stuff like, is Garrett Bowles going to come back and practice today? Oh, there he is. But it's not like you got to be there at the moment it happens to understand it's happening. Guys do get hurt sometimes. I don't know. Who knows? Most of the time, we just chew the fat and then practice at start. So, I don't know. Paxton Lynch looked great today. We'll see where it goes on.
Be happy about it, baby.
He's at home.
We love you right back,
you know what, man.
Buddy.
You know
we
what.
Love you right back, Paxton.
Well, you justified that today.
Three.
How about John Gray last night, man?
How about John Gray?
How about John Gray
last
night?
How about my man Gray Wolf?
Hey, man, he was exciting to watch. And a couple times, you know, when, of course, there was nobody on base, do some wild pitches. I was like, wait, he's me, hey. But then settled in and had a wonderful day pitching. And then to see the way that Wade Davis came in and went boom, boom, boom.
That's what shut I'm talking down. About.
I mean, what was it, like 10 pitches or so? I mean, it was like boom, boom, boom. And no, it was over, man. Game was up. No controversy.
This should end the ball game. Cargo has his glove out. He's got it. That was quick. 1-2-3 in the ninth. The Rockies can shake hands. They have defeated the Cardinals tonight 6-3.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, it was so fun to watch, D-Mac. I am really into it, man. I know we have a good team. I know we have a good product on the field. And I'm excited to watch it. I mean, maybe for the first time in my real understanding about the Rockies, I have become enamored with their drive to become, you know, a divisional champion. It's never happened. It's never happened in our franchise history. Maybe this is the year.
Kyle Freeland on the bump. Bongos.
Three!
Alfred, the first NFL game is tomorrow. What is that going to look like with all the new rules? What are you expecting that game to look like?
Oh, man, a hot mess.
A hot mess.
I don't know, man. I am not excited about this. The game is going to be played on that turf field, as we know.
Well, they redid the whole field, you know. Yeah, it's whatever. A whole new thing now.
Whatever. I just
high school. It's still a high school field.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just getting soured by this year's.
Not interested.
Hall of Fame, everything. I'm just not. All I just right. don't like it. And I'll say bongos and lead into my story.
Three.
The reason I'm not really excited about this year's Hall of Fame. First of all, Pat Bowlen's not in. Put Pat in.
Nice.
Put Pat in. .com once
nice.
Again. Let's get Pat Bowlen in. But the whole treatment of this ceremony without T.O. It's just. Listen, man.
It's weak. It's weak.
It is weak. It's weak. 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 Are you telling me you're not gonna acknowledge that the guy is a Hall of Famer? What are you doing? You gotta take the high road, Hall of Fame. He's just not gonna have an induction speech. Everything else about his career stands. How petty can you be, D-Mac?
It's pathetic, but. That's where it is. That's where they're at with it. And it'll come and go, and who cares? So I'm happy for Brian Dawkins. I'll stay on a positive tip like that. By the way, very, very interesting article in Philly.com.
No doubt about it.
About what that, Brian dealing with
depression.
Alcohol, depression, alcohol problems, all sorts of stuff. Early in his career.
Yeah.
And
I mean it sounded so familiar, right? I mean how many times have you heard guys say the exact same thing? But usually you hear that at the end of the career,
well,
not in the at the beginning stages.
I consider myself pretty friendly with Brian, and I met him late, obviously, you know, when he was here with the Broncos. So when I was reading this stuff, my jaw was dropped. I mean, I was like, wow, that doesn't even sound close to the same guy I know. The process, you know, he had a good woman. He had his wife. They've been knowing each other since like middle school, and she really helped him get through an incredibly dark period of his life when he was a pro player. And it's an interesting read for sure. So,
yeah, congratulations to Brian Dawkins. You know, a class guy, and still a Coloradan. Okay, he still makes home right here in our beautiful state of Colorado. So, congratulations to him. I hope he has a wonderful Hall of Fame. I can't wait to see T.O.'s speech in front of his crew.
It's going to be interesting.
I mean, I tell you the truth.
That is going
to
be interesting.
If you gave me an option to be in Canton, Ohio, or at T.O.'s induction ceremony, I think I would take T.O.'s.
Bongos.
Three.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean, just for the entertainment value.
I think
that going to be broadcast somehow?
I don't know how they're going to deal with it, but... The Hall of Fame's got to be a better organization.
All right. When we come back, there's a veteran you got. I was right about something. Listen, you tell me I'm right about something. We're going to make some time for it. We'll get there next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Good music today. I saw you over there.
Oh, I hated it.
Oh my goodness! You were, what was
oh,
the rock and roll song?
I know they play music. I like Metallica and all that.
What was that?
It was a little jamming. It was too loud though. I mean, I had to move. You actually had a better spot. You were kind of behind the speaker.
Yeah, I mean, you looked like you were getting it in a little bit, dog.
No. I mean, it was a couple songs. I'm just, you know, like
what was the song that you like?
Tom Sawyer comes on. I've got to do some drums. Everybody knows that you got to do some drums.
What's the Tom Sawyer song?
Every white nerd in America knows how to do the drums to Tom Sawyer.
Why is Kyle Berry back there shaking his head?
Because when you hear da-bum,
oh, da-dum.
Well, you don't do drums to this part. Big Sexy, you'd have to go to the end.
Oh, hold on, no. Da-dun-da-dun. Right. I was jamming out to this. Right. Who is this?
Tom Sawyer. Rush.
Oh, okay.
This is the ultimate.
I need to put this on. Hold on. Keep that going. I'm going to put that on my playlist.
This is the ultimate white nerd. There you go.
I don't know what they're saying, but
who does? They're talking about 12-sided die and the ghost, the ghost of Mordor, and who knows what they're talking about.
You love that one, man. I was like, D-Max got that foot going. Is that what you were doing? Like,
playing the bass.
Oh,
playing the bass. No.
Slapping the bass.
That's it. See? You see the movie. No, you got to get to the end of it, whereas. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Right there?
Forget it. Don't even worry about it.
I saw you jamming out.
But I was going deaf, and then I was like, you know, if I just slide slightly behind the speaker, then I can see everything, and I'm not going to lose my hearing.
You know what I like about your style at practice? I'll tell you.
My style?
Your style. Your style.
I didn't know I had a style.
Well,
what's my style?
You're there to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're there to work. I mean, you are. Sure. I mean, some guys just like to get, you know, form opinions by talking to other people. And you know me, I just kind of I just need to see what I need to see, and then I can get out of there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at practice, looking for the story. And you are looking at practice, and you're marking off catches, drops, and
sometimes
you work kind of like I work, except you need to be right in front. Is that because you'll be blocked out if you're not?
Well, yeah, because my man Tyler Palumbus, wise guy, came and stood like 3 inches in front of me the other day, and I'm like, oh, you're so funny. You're tall and I'm short. What a funny joke. But I will tell you, I do have a little strategery, because there's a white line that you're able to go up to. And if I don't, like, kind of go up to that line, there is a chance taller people will get in front of me,
right,
and it makes seeing things awkward. But then the music was, like killing
right
me today.
I know. I'll just stand right there behind that speaker.
But then I heard, like, you know, I'm not a, you know, I know certain things when it comes to hip-hop, and all I know is when I hear about the six, I know that's Drake.
Oh, Drake was all day to day.
When I hear...
When
I hear about the six, I know I'm listening to Drake.
What's the name of that song by Rush that we
That's
just
heard? Tom Sawyer.
That's the name of the song, Tom Sawyer,
yes.
The name of the song is Tom Sawyer.
The name of the song is Tom Sawyer.
Okay. Put that in my playlist.
Slapping the bass.
Dun, 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 dun. I saw everybody kind of, you know.
There's songs that you can't help yourself.
All right. Tom Sawyer.
Gotcha. For whom the bell tolls, Metallica was playing. And
who do you think the sound is for out there? Because I remember when Peyton was here, man, it was like, you know, like every other song was a country song.
I don't know. Who knows?
Is it Von Miller's practice now?
There's a mixture of hip-hop and rock out there. It's usually a little bit more old school than anything. But anyways, tell me...
who you were right about?
Yeah.
Andy Janovich.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
What do you mean? Why am I right about Jano?
I just don't see it, man. I don't see it. I see them working... You know, different guys at that F position, which is the move tight end versus, you know, also the in obvious pass situations. If they have a regular personnel in and they're not sure whether or not they're going to get blitz or not, they don't bring a fullback in. They just ask the tight end to step back into that fullback spot and gun, and the tight end becomes a blocker.
He is barely getting on the field for the offense.
Yeah.
He is out there for special teams.
But this special teams unit is so good now because everybody can run.
So, for example, would you rather have an athlete draft pick like David Williams, or would you rather have Andy Janovich?
Yeah, I can't see it. Today I really saw how this offense works and thought, you know,
would you rather have
a third down and one and fourth down and one to put Janovich in there?
Right.
What are we doing? Like it's like you don't really have an offense that you'd rather, and in this offense, and just being totally honest with you, you'd rather have Courtland Sutton on the field than not. You know, if you're going to go, you know, if you're telling me in regular personnel, you have two wide receivers, a tight end, a fullback and a tailback. I'm telling you that in this offense, the way that it stands right now, just being 100 with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Courtland Sutton has to be on the field.
Has to be.
Okay, DT, Emmanuel Sanders has to be on the field.
Mm.
Oh, Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel has to be on the field.
Not DT.
Mm.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And I think that DT belongs inside because he does not have stretch the field. He does not have stretch the field
you
ability.
Were watching you saw the same practice I saw. Your new slot receiver is Emmanuel Sanders.
I know, but I'm just saying I would move – I would move Emmanuel outside because he can still get it in.
Fine, but you see what they're doing.
Oh, I know, but I would move Emmanuel outside and put DT inside. Because Emmanuel can still run away from guys. DT can't.
But you know what you saw. You know what you saw today.
Yeah.
A lot of Sanders in the slot.
Yeah, so...
And
so,
effective.
And I'll tell you this. I'll also tell you this.
So where in the world does Janovich fit in?
He does not. When you're talking about an offense, I can absolutely see us being a three wide out offense 50% of the time.
Yes. You'd be foolish not to with these weapons.
Man, listen, man. Look, I told you when I saw the truth in Von Miller, we have the truth at wide receiver. Cortland Sutton is the truth. Now, you know, I know you guys may have bought your jerseys already. Go get your Cortland Sutton jersey because it's gonna be on like Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy is going to produce in a way that we haven't seen around here from a young guy in a long time.
And if you have those old 14 Stokely jerseys, you can just take off a tape over the Stokely put Sutton there.
Let's wait till after preseason. I got a feeling in that 14 won't stay 14.
That's exactly what Brandon Stokely looked like. Oh, you think he's going to move to a different number?
Maybe he gets an 80 number.
Okay. You could be right.
That guy is...
I would guess that
he is ragdolling defensive backs, man. I mean, he is tossing guys and high pointing the ball. I mean, he ran a slug-o today, a slant go, and the ball was thrown like 11 feet in the air on a slant go, and he came down with it. I mean, this dude is caught a touchdown in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. After he caught the touchdown, dunked the basketball over the – dunked the football over the goal. He is having fun out there.
Well, you know, 82 may be available soon.
Maybe.
Jeff Heuermann.
Mm.
That's another guy that – there's no need for Jano.
Who's wearing 84?
84, I'm trying to do it off the top of my head. I know this. That's don't help –
Fumagalli.
It's Fumagalli. Yeah, they... Yeah,
Fumagalli. Heuermann is 82, by the way.
Heuermann's 82. This Matt Lacoste kid? Goodness.
He's big.
Yep. Tim Patrick?
Tim Patrick. Hey,
hello.
Hey, you called it on Tim Patrick yesterday.
Nah, first of all, I called him Tim Wright. I called him the wrong name.
I know, but he is... You know what I meant to say. He's making plays another day in a row and telling people about it. I like that energy.
Here's what happened. About,
I'm glad you brought it up. You know what? Let's tell that story. It's an interesting story.
He's not backing down,
baby. Right. Let's get to that story. Football at 4 is next.